Blog Talk Radio.
Survive, thrive, stay alive. It's time to get prepared with the Prepping Academy podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prepping Academy. I am Forrest. Tenderfoot is not here this evening. Tenderfoot is getting ready to go on a trip, and I gave him permission without pay to take the evening off. So, but tonight we have a very special guest. We've had him on before. It's going to be Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon. Mark is becoming a good friend, and looking forward. I got some great questions for him tonight. And but we made an announcement last time. If you remember, we announced that we're going to start taking our game to a different level, to a new level. We're going to do some video streaming of our show. There's all kinds of exciting things actually in the works. We were on the I was on the phone today with a group that wants to take what we do and then provide a larger listening audience. And I kept asking them, have you listened to the show? And they're like, yeah, we like it. So we will see where that goes. But, Tenderfoot is going to – he's taking a vacation. And I will wish we will definitely share more information about that later. Just – protect him and his identity where he's going. We just don't want to mention anything at this time. I did a podcast today. I haven't posted it yet, and it was on my mind about a husband and wife that I have been consulting with in Texas. They have a great piece of land. They have everything they need for a retreat, except people. They don't have a mag group. And so I recorded a quick podcast this afternoon, kind of the how I walked them through finding members in their group and some of the things that they were doing wrong to some of the things that they are now very excited about. This coming weekend. So I'm going to probably post that, I would say on Friday, Thursday or Friday, just because I got to edit it a little bit, because every time I record one of these, I make a ton of mistakes, as you can imagine. And like, this is being recorded live, which I hate that. But anyway, it is what it is. If you could edit all the errors out, you wouldn't get much of a show, so I just leave them in there, a lot of them. But we got some of the guests we got coming up is Glenn Tate is coming back on in about 30 days. We also have Scott Hunt is coming back on. I got some questions about some projects that he is doing, and bigger than just some of the water projects that he does. We also have Heritage Life Skills coming up in April. We've got, just thinking through this, a friend of mine that has agreed today to come on. We'll ask him something. He's active military, so we do everything we can to protect him and his identity. We're going to... that's going to be a good one as well. I'm looking forward to that one. So there's a lot of good things we have coming your way. And so, again, I always tell you guys that we hope there's a lot of information that you can get from our podcast. We know we're not the best, but we think our information sometimes is useful. And in the comments we get, we hear that from you guys. If you want to comment leave us a message. The best way to get in touch with us is go to preppingacademy.com, preppingacademy.com, and you can send us a message through the contact page there. You can also listen to all our archived shows. It has the write-ups on each show, what it's about. And you can also go to iTunes or Google Play and get our shows as well. We ask you to go to iTunes and Google Play and give us the highest rating possible and write and just lie. I'm just asking you, go ahead and lie in the comments. Or but anyway, I'm just kidding. The better comments we get and the better rating we get, the more listeners we will have. They'll find us easier. And so, hey, I'm looking forward to this show. Like I said, a lot of big things coming in the future, and just hang with us. And I know I got a very encouraging email just this weekend from a lady that says she's doing this on her own with no support from her husband. And she said that this weekend that she'd listened to every one of my podcasts. And I'm like, oh my goodness, she must have no life. She must be retired or something. It's not many. I mean, we've been doing it a year, but amazes me that people listen to one or two or five or 10. So anyway, that was just a good comment I got this weekend. So I'm not going to wait any longer. We got Mark Goodwin is in the house, and he has called in, and I've been, the last time we talked to Mark, it was awesome. It just amazing things came from that, and not going to get too much into that, but it was just a very good show, and I respect him from his books. Mark, are you there?
I'm here. It's great to be here. Oh, thanks for having me.
Wow. I'm kind of producing this myself, so I'm always a little nervous that things won't work correctly, but it seems to be working. Awesome. So, hey, welcome back, Mark. This is your second time on the Prepping Academy.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And last time we had we had some great conversation. We talked about prepping, preparedness, books, your podcast. We talked about Jesus. We talked about the Lord. We talked about end times. And gosh, I can't think of a better podcast that covers all that. I mean, that's just the ultimate right there.
Yeah, and we're seeing no shortage of that type of stuff in the news right now. Obviously, I don't know if you guys know it or not, but I just moved out of Broward County about 3 years ago because I just felt like God was telling me that this is not the type of place to raise a family. And of course, it's all over the news now, and we're reaping what we've sown. For 40 years now, we've had schools where God's been evicted, basically, he's a gentleman, so you ask him to leave and he will,
right.
And instead we're teaching our children that they have no purpose, they have no origin, they have no final destination, that they evolved from animals, that there's no absolute right and wrong. And then we're sort of surprised when they act like animals who don't think there's any right or wrong and don't think there's any eternal consequences for sin and think that there's no purpose for life and that life has no meaning. So
I agree 100%. Also, I'm glad we're jumping right into this, Mark. That's the awesome thing about you. We just jump right into it. Also, they see no value of life because of, they see all the abortions Americans committing every day.
3,288 a day. And while the school shooting's horrific, that's another 17, every day, it's more than everybody that was killed in Sandy Hook and 9/11 and the school in Parkland, Florida, put together. And that's every single day. And there's no outrage. There's no outrage in the pulpits. There's no outrage on the news. There's no outrage anywhere, you know, and if you want to have a heart after God's heart, you know, that's something that you can pray for every single day. God, change the heart of that single mother that's afraid, that doesn't think she can handle it, that's being lied to by the devil, being told that that's not a baby, that it's just a blob of tissue. You know, change her heart, show her the value in that life, that, you know, if she can't handle it, that there's so many people out there willing to take that child up for adoption. And, you know, I did a show on Prepper Recon not long ago, and we really focused on the Roe v. Wade anniversary back in January. And so we did a show on that. And, you know, talking about how Christians need to stand up. And I had a listener write in that said, you know, and then also think about the women's crisis centers that tried to intervene to try to get those kids adopted and try to give those moms, single moms, support. And, you know, and think about donating to them, because that's huge. And I just don't see how much longer this country is going to continue to get away with that blood of 3,288 children every single day murdered in abortion clinics. And, you know, we're going to have to replay blood with blood, I believe. But
you know, when Trump became president, everyone was kind of worried about
– hypocritical. Sure, go ahead.
When Trump became president, everybody was kind of concerned, at least the evangelical Christians, about Trump's stance on the abortion. And yet he has taken a posture of being pro-life, but sometimes his actions aren't as strong as his words on this particular issue. Would you agree with that?
Trump's a politician, and we're seeing that right now more than ever. He's waffling on bumps. You know, well, he's not waffling on bump stocks. He's saying flat out, we need to get rid of bump stocks.
Right.
He's waffling on the raising the age to 21 for you know, if you can serve in the military and be armed with a fully automatic M4. At 18, then as a private citizen, you should have the same thing. The Second Amendment's not about hunting deer or collecting trophy guns or any of that kind of thing. It says specifically it's for the security of a free state, and you need private citizens to have the same armament as the military in order to ensure that free state. That's how you keep from getting people like Kim Jong in power. That's how you keep from getting dictatorships, Hitlers, and people like that rise up, because the populace is completely disarmed. So that's the intent of the Second Amendment. It's not for deer hunting. It's not for collecting, and it's not for planking. It's for the security of a free state. And who's responsible for that? Well, you can look up at the top of the Constitution, and for some reason or another, our founders saw fit to put three words larger than anybody else: we the people. You know, so everybody out there that says, okay, Romans 13, you need to submit to the higher powers. Okay, well, according to our Constitution, we are the higher power, we the people. So we're the ones that are responsible for that. And, you know, anybody out there that has the ability to get a battle rifle right now, you should have one. You should be trained with it. You should have, you know, in excess of 1,000 rounds of ammunition, you know, because it's your responsibility. And that's how we ensure a free state. And you know, unfortunately, Trump's waffling on that. He was one of the first presidents in decades to speak at the pro-life march in Washington, D.C. Of course, that got no coverage from the press at all. And it was the same weekend they had the women's rights, the pink hat march, you know, and that got all kinds of coverage.
Oh, yep.
And but there were, you know, just hundreds of thousands of people there for the pro-life march, the Roe v. Wade March for Life.
Yeah, he's been, his words and, even his actions is show pro-life for sure. And then he's waffling on the gun rights, which is kind of surprising. I didn't think he would ever do that, to be honest, when it came to guns. I mean, matter of fact, he kind of campaigned that, guns, that we have the Second Amendment, and he's still saying we have the Second Amendment, but it's like he wants to do a little give and take with the liberals. And I don't think you can do a give and take with the liberals, because all they do want to do is take, take, take.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And so, yeah, he's got to stop this. And, he waffled on the age, and everybody's kind of blaming that on the NRA with a meeting he had this weekend. And the bump stops. I posted on the Carolina Prepper Network a video from YouTube, and this guy is doing the same exact auto fire by using his belt loop. The results is exactly the same. We're using his belt loop. And so are we going to outlaw belt loops?
Yeah. They would love to do that. I didn't see a belt loop. I saw a guy with a 2x4 with a nail in it, basically doing like a bump stock, basically a homemade bump stock that he did with a 2x4 with a nail in it. But similar concept. And you're absolutely right about the left. That's they're just takers. And I'll tell you what, George Clooney, he donated $500,000 to the March for Our Lives, which is the anti-gun protest that's going on in D.C. right now. That's organized by Everytown, which is Michael Bloomberg's organization that he's put together, and he does most of the funding for. And and their ambition is to completely get rid of guns and to turn this into basically like a Soviet republic where nobody's armed except the state. And I got to do a quick retraction for my listeners that are on Prepper Recon. Hopefully a lot of them are listening to this show, or they'll hear it later when I re-air it. But Everytown put out the number that there had been 18 school shootings this year, and most of those were just incidents, after hour incidents with guns. And there's only been 5 school shootings where someone was at, where there was actually a gun fired and someone injured. I think there were 2 more incidents where guns were discharged. So there's really only 7 incidents where there was a firearm discharged in schools this year. And the other 11 are, one was the guy that shot himself in the parking lot of a school. A couple others were after school events. Some with, where members of the public were using the school for something else and things like that. But, there's always an agenda about that. But, whether it's 5 or whether it's 18, the root issue is still the same. Like I said, we've replaced God with an atheistic worldview propagated by evolution. And we tell their children there's no moral absolute, no heaven, no hell, and no eternal consequences for sin. So, that's the root issue there. But we've got the George Clooneys and we've got the Michael Bloombergs, and these people are putting their money where their mouth is. And so we as Christians, a lot of churches have the big drives for, we need a big screen, we need a new HD projector, and we need a new, we need new seat cushions, or, we're going to build a coffee shop and make the foyer of the church look like the mall, and put a fountain a waterfall fountain baptismal, out there by the Starbucks in the new foyer of the church out there, and all these building projects and things like that. And, I don't know if that's a spirit-led thing for them to do or not, but I'll tell you what, one of the best things you can do for your church right now is to donate to some gun lobby. And if you think that the NRA is getting a little soft on things, then, maybe it's Gun Owners of America. Maybe that's going to be the organization that you want to give to. But, the second we lose our guns, then the very next thing they're going to come after is going to be our Bibles.
Oh, yeah. Now, a couple things. One is you were talking about the school shootings. I posted on a Facebook site, and, of course, I got the liberals came after me hard. From the top 25 shootings in the last 50 years, top 25 shootings, most death that occurred, it adds up to a total of 211 kids or people. 211. Put that in perspective of teen suicide, texting while driving, drugs. It's really such a small problem that, I mean, everyone attacked me for doing that, but the top 25, add all the deaths up, it's 211 deaths. It's not, more people fall downstairs or fall out of beds in a year, in a month. And when it comes to falling downstairs, more people falling downstairs die than 211 in America alone. And it's such a small problem. And they want to take our guns. I have a different feeling about that, Mark, than a lot of people. I just don't ever see that happening. And so I like them to be focused on that because it's a diversion from other evil or other things that they could or problems they could cause for America. Because one thing that will never happen in America is I just don't believe they'll ever take our guns away. And it's like a losing cause. And that's why I'm like, you know, you can pull for that, whatever you want to, but there's just too many guns, too many rednecks, too many patriots that we're just going to just say, no, it's not going to happen. There'll be 40 million guns hidden in the dirt somewhere or underground if they ever do that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I like seeing them waste their time on it. I don't know. That's my two cents. What do you think?
I don't know. I think that they're really, really pushing hard for it, and I think that there's so much propaganda going on with it right now. And I think that and we're seeing these kids, you know, CNN, they did their staged town hall meeting where everything was scripted, and you had the kid, the ROTC kid that was on Tucker Carlson, which I'm not a big Fox fan, but I do really appreciate the fact that Tucker came out and called that, because a lot of times Fox is very, very soft on the other networks.
Right.
Probably largely because they're very complacent and just barely a little bit more conservative than any of the rest. But I really appreciated that Tucker came out and called them on that with the staged town hall. But a lot of propaganda going on, and I think that the kids, you know, there's been so much infiltration by the left into the curriculum and the thought police, especially in the colleges now. I think that the younger generation, you know, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but I could see, you know, a generation from now where most of the kids are brainwashed, and so many Christians are, you know, they allow their children to go to these re-education camps where, you know, they get an hour sermon on Sunday and then 6 hours a day for 5 days a week of re-education, you know. And a lot of parents will say, well, that's just a very small percentage. Yes, but a little yeast will eventually leaven the whole lump.
Right.
And then it's the solution. The solution is turn in the guns and trust the government and let the government keep your kids safe, when the government failed at every single level. The FBI, they were alerted to this kid posting that he was going to be a school shooter on YouTube. They failed. The Broward County Sheriff's Office was called to his house 39 times.
Yep.
The kid posted on social media cutting himself. And, you know, at this degree, you've got somebody that is mentally ill, and he should have been put, you know, if we're going to have background checks, if we're going to have them, then this is the type of person that you have them for, is because somebody like this that's had so much attention from the authorities and is such a troubled person that, you know, we would never take somebody that has you know, Down syndrome or somebody like that and give them a fully automatic gun and let them walk around town, you know, because, you know, there's some people that just are not, they're not, you wouldn't give a 6-year old a fully automatic weapon and say, you know, go out in the yard, Jimmy, and have fun with that, you know, because there needs to be a standard of mental capability. And this is obviously a person that shouldn't have had it. And yet it failed. The government failed all the way down. And then we had the Broward County deputy that stood outside and did not respond. I'm sure he had a bulletproof vest on. I know it's probably soft armor. It's probably not going to stop an AR-15, but that's what you're sworn to do. And that's the job you took. And, you know, and you've got a gun and you have the resources to make an attempt to fight back, and against an untrained kid, you know, he's probably got a pretty good chance of, you know, taking up a concealed covered position and perhaps being able to take him out. But either way, that's the job you signed up for, and now you need to go do your job.
Right. Exactly. And so there are churches, because, I mean, they're seeing the writing on the wall, that are more prepared than school zones, and yet our precious children are in the school zones. And the laws that we have on the books currently, if, you know, we don't need new laws. Let's just enforce the ones we have. We forget everything this kid did was illegal. Shooting on school zone is illegal. He broke the law. I mean, the mental background checks. Okay, that's not on us, the citizens. That's not on the NRA. The NRA does not do background checks. As a matter of fact, when you get your background check, that's the FBI and the federal government. Where do they? And there's supposed to be a mental background check. Why? I mean, so that's our taxpayer money is not actually performing the work that it's supposed to be doing. What if we enforce the current laws and exactly as is, and then some of this would be completely eliminated. What happened to the mental background? And if the FBI would have followed through with the reports, even the local sheriff has responsibility there because they knew about it. It was all government that actually failed. It wasn't the citizens. It wasn't me, Forrest in North Carolina. Why take my rights away and enforce the rules and do a better job at what our tax dollars are supposed to do?
Yeah, they want to take away your rights, and then they want you to trust this government system that failed on every single level. This
every
complete
level.
Failure of a system, and they want you to trust them for all of it. Yeah, it's bizarre, and I think you start to understand Common Core there, because, you know, this is the type of thinking that gets you to the point to where you think that that's an acceptable solution. Yes, I should turn in my guns, and yes, I should trust the county that failed, and I should trust the federal government that failed, and I should trust these people with my safety because they know better than me. And you have to have Common Core to get kids to accept that, to believe that. And you know, you got to dumb them down with genetically modified food, and you got to shoot them up with vaccines that have got thimerosal and mercury in them, you know, so that they can't think, and they're just, you know, just borderline zombies. And that's what they're trying to make.
So, and I struggle with this. Are some of them just not capable of putting dots together to see what's really going on, or have they been trained to not even do that? I mean, because I have friends that are liberals that believe in, you know, take all the guns to make it safer. And I look at them and I'm like, I really want to just call them names. I'm like, are you can you not think for yourself? And I don't do that, of course. I just defriend them.
Yeah.
It's easier to do in Facebook than on real life, though. But I just don't understand their mindset. And they don't know history either. And that's another thing that bothers me. I mean, history is going to repeat itself if we let it.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Okay, a couple, I mean, that's some great, great conversation there on that. I wanted to, a couple of new things I want to kind of hit you, because I feel the mark here, you are in tune with what's going on in the survival and prepping industry, this genre. And a couple questions I had for you. Oh, by the way, I can't wait to meet you at Heritage Life Skills on the April 27th through the 29th in Waynesville, North Carolina.
Yeah, Forrest, I can't wait.
And so, I mean, I can't believe you're traveling this far to come to a conference up in North Carolina.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we may have some, you know, it's a pretty section of country there in Western North Carolina. So we may have some ulterior motives.
Okay.
To passing through besides just the conference. But
okay.
Yeah, we're going to be there on that Saturday evening for the meet the authors.
Yes.
And so I'm not going to be exhibiting this year because we just had a baby and she's not quite ready to be manning a booth just yet. So, and mom is not, and I don't think Papa is either. So we're going to take it easy this year. Just come in, look around, say hi to the folks, and we'll be there for the authors meet and greet on Saturday night. I think that's at, I think it's at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Yes. 7 o'clock.
But,
on Saturday.
Well, I'll be there Saturday a little earlier in the day as well.
Good.
To say hi.
You're going to miss our big thing on Friday night we're doing. I have to tell you about that later. So that's going to be very...
Yeah. Well, you tell me. I don't know. I might have to get myself over there.
If you're
going to be
there,
we're going to be in town for a pretty good while on both sides of the event. So.
Well, we're doing an event I've never seen it done on Friday night. We're going to actually plan a mag group from start to finish by breaking up in small groups and letting groups plan different aspects of it. When they all come back, we're going to share the information. Then we're going to actually make photocopies or put it in a PDF and give everyone that information. I believe mag groups, getting into mags, planning mags, is huge. One of the statements I make a lot, Mark, is if you're not in a group, you're going to die when the crap hits the fan. You've got to have a support network. It just can't be you and your family. And you got to have that group. And so I'm always pushing groups to people. You know, find networking. You got to find support teams. You've got to find – you just can't guard your stuff 24 hours a day just by yourself. So you got to have – and you can't have every skill in the book as well. So, but that's going to be on Friday night. So
– yeah, you're right. You can't do it by yourself.
Right. So let me ask you this question. Let's take our industry, which is the – we'll call it the prepping / preparedness genre. How do you think that it's a healthy industry right now? Do you think that we have the right people delivering the right message kind of at the right time? I mean, how would you grade us? Because we're a movement, and our movement is growing, I think, leaps and bounds. I mean, my listener base is going up. I know yours is. People buying your books. I mean, people are thinking about this. As a leadership person, how do you feel that we're doing? I mean, are there things we're weak at, and what could we do better?
I think the industry as a whole is doing pretty well. I think the following, I think there's a lot of complacency right now. I think there's a lot of Trumpphoria.
Right.
I think there's a lot of market euphoria, which is probably, you know, Trump's a man. he's a
right.
very limited man with a very limited amount of things that he can do. He cannot, you know, we had the vote for the 5-month abortion ban go through the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they couldn't get you have to have a super majority. So there were still two Republicans that voted against it that would not support a 5-month abortion ban. This is a child that can live outside of the womb with no problem.
Right.
At 5 months, and you had two Republicans vote against that. It was the female senator from Maine and the female senator from Alaska, and they both voted against that. But it also shows you how deplorable a Democrat is. You know, and when they compare a Republican to Nazis, you know,
right.
That's hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
But to compare a Democrat to a Nazi is not at all hyperbole. In fact, it's almost degrading to Nazis because they only managed to kill 6 million Jews while we've killed 60 million. You put another zero at the end of that. Democrats
wow.
have killed unborn children since Roe v. Wade. And that blood is on their hands, and it's on the hands of everybody that votes to put them in office. And this is why you got to be involved in politics, folks. It's not, you know, this is something that breaks the heart of God. This is something that Jesus weeps over, you know, is politics.
Yes.
Because politics isn't budget cuts and funding for the military and food stamps and all that stuff. It is all that stuff, but it's abortion and it's the lives of our children. And,
yep.
You know, if you just want to be involved in it long enough to get abortion banned and then cash out and sit home, watch TV, you know, so be it. That'd be fine. I think God would be okay with that. But at least get involved with it until we can get this overturned.
I agree. Yep.
Well, I just shot off on a rabbit trail and I forgot what the original
That's
question
fine.
Was. I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's about
the health of the industry. Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a lot of complacency. Trump's a very limited. He's very limited in what he can do. He cannot stop an EMP. He cannot stop a solar flare. He cannot stop a Cascadia event. We've seen how limited FEMA is in their abilities to handle disasters. We saw that in Katrina. It took, you know, 3 or 4 days to get water to the Superdome. You know, we're not equipped to handle a Cascadia event. Or a San Andreas event, or a solar flare, or an EMP, and we are not—we're certainly not prepared to handle what's going to happen eventually in our markets, because you know the downside to the economic prosperity that we're seeing under Trump, which is why we've got so much complacency in the preparedness market. It's that the $7 trillion of new money that was printed under the Obama administration, that's going to start looking for a home when the economy starts picking up.
Right.
And then given that the M2 money supply was $7 trillion when Obama came into office, and it's now doubled, it's $14 trillion now, theoretically, the price of everything should double. Because now you've got twice as much currency chasing the same amount of goods and services. Of course, that's sort of an economic theory, and we know that money doesn't all flow evenly into every single market. If it did, then everything would double. But some things are going to go up 10%, some things are going to triple, other things are going to go up 30%, you know, because it doesn't flow evenly into the market. And, of course, that doesn't take into account the fractional reserve banking system, which, you know, we're on about, a 10% reserve system right now. So that $7 trillion has the potential to turn into $63 trillion because as the velocity of money picks up and every time you put $100 in the bank, you know, they can loan out basically $90 of that, but then that money goes and purchases something and ends up in another bank and it gets lent out and then that gets lent out and that gets lent out, so that every $100 that goes into the bank through the fractional reserve system has the potential to make about another $900 worth of currency. So now you would have $63 trillion chasing the same amount of money that the only, the same amount of goods and services that only $7 trillion was chasing before Obama came into office. And of course, you know, add in the original $7 trillion, now you've got $70 trillion. So that's basically putting a zero behind everything. So imagine,
right.
Imagine your $200 grocery bill is now $2,000, and your $40,000 car would be $400,000, and your $3 a gallon gas is now $30 a gallon. So that's basically what the potential is there.
And
for
let's
that.
Not
it's basically
forget
that an economic nuclear bomb.
Yeah, let's not forget that Trump didn't balance the budget yet either. And so he is bringing on $1 trillion a year at least in debt with his new budget that we just passed.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the administration that – because of this, we're at the point now. We're so far beyond the tipping point that debt and deficits and all of that stuff, that's just all going to play out in a catastrophic cataclysmic event at some point
right.
in time where the currency collapses and we go into like a Weimar Republic type thing where people are going to the grocery store with wheelbarrows full of money to buy a loaf of bread. And you know, that's just something that's cooked into the books at this point. So no president's really going to be the one to say, okay, well, let's ratchet back because it's all – it's not you're not going to fix it at this point anyway because we're so far
right.
beyond that line of where it could have been fixed.
And people say there's no inflation, and I actually heard on your show, and I heard it, and I'm like, you know what? That is so true. My bag of potato chips, it used to be a full bag of potato chips, and now it's 1/3 bag of potato chips, and they say there's no inflation. There's inflation that has happened. It's happening right before our eyes. We just don't see it.
Oh, there's absolutely inflation. And like you don't see a – when you look out at the ocean and you don't see the undertow out there, it doesn't mean that it's not there. But
right.
it's there. And when you see somebody swimming and all of a sudden they go under and then they pop up, you know, a quarter mile down the beach – and you say, oh, there's the undertow. And what we saw a couple of weeks back when the market went down 666 points on that Friday, and then the next week dropped had a couple of 1,000-point down days, which are absolutely unheard of. Yes, it's kind of gamed it all back. But those are like tremors before the big one on the San Andreas Fault. And, you know, and if you live in California, maybe you're used to shakers and you get the shaker and you get a little anxious for the day. And then the next day things start to kind of go back to normal. And of course, now we've almost regained all of the ground we've lost on the Dow. But that's the early tremors because that was all triggered by inflation. That was all triggered by bond rates starting to go up because people are saying, you know, if you've got if inflation's moving at let's say 10% per year, and you've got a government bond paying 3% per year, you're essentially losing 7% per year. So nobody wants that deal. So they're all selling their bonds and they're taking that money and they're wanting to buy hard assets. So that's driving up the interest rates and it's driving up the prices of hard assets because people are saying, at least if I own a hard asset, if I own real estate or something tangible like that, and inflation doubles, you know, while I may not make anything on that, at least I can preserve my capital. Whereas owning a government bond at 3% and inflation's moving at 10%, I'm losing 7%. So it'd be
right.
better to make nothing than to lose 7%. When we see that happening, that's because the bondholders are seeing the inflation and they're starting to get out and we're starting to see the interest rates rise up. And we're in such an unprecedented time right now of super low interest rates and the entire economy's fixated on that. And our national debt that you just mentioned with Trump now racking up another $1 trillion every year. when that interest rate goes from 3% to 6%, we're going to have to print more currency. We're going to devalue the currency that much more.
Okay, now, someone that has written series on, I think, an EMP and a financial collapse, right? So you wasn't the Days of Noah, was that not an EMP that happened?
No, the Days of Noah is basically a prequel to the rapture.
Okay,
and
okay.
Days of Elijah picks up at the rapture. I did a series called The Economic Collapse Chronicles, and that is self-explanatory. And then my EMP series is called Seven Cows Ugly and Gone.
Yes, seven. That's it. Yep.
And then this
by the
April,
way, I love your books.
Your
books need to be read by everyone. And the reason why is not just the story, but as the characters in your book are going through these, you know, disasters or situations, your mind starts to think, oh, what would I do? Am I prepared for that? And that helps the preparedness people and people that are getting ready for, you know, the end of days, the times to come. It helps us to think through what we would do, what things that we should put back. I'm telling you, it's an education, but yet it's, you know, it's a, you know, it's a story you've kind of made up in your head. And it's so cool how you can take what someone else writes, like you did in all, my favorite series. I mean, The Days of Noah was just awesome. And then how it continued with the same character. I loved it. But the education you get from reading it is just, you don't even know how much you're learning by just reading the book.
Thank you, Forrest. I'm glad you're enjoying the books. I've got another series coming out this April. It's going to be called Avery's Crucible. And it's basically a civil war in America. You know, the last election we saw in 2016 was absolutely the most contentious ever. And since then, things have certainly not cooled off at all. And we're watching it right now. The left that says we want the guns and the right that's saying we're not going to give them up. And that's a very, very contentious issue right there between the left and the right. And, you know, and in the book, we see people where Ava, she's the main character. And, you know, and she's got friends that are, you know, at work that are kind of liberal. And you know, and then as you see things devolve and you see to where, you know, they're trying to be friends and avoid political issues at some level when things start to break down. You know, that friendship breaks down as well, and she has to make some choices. And you know, and Ava's coming into it. She's had a hard life. She's, you know, her father stepped out for the sweet young thing at the office, and her mother's just recently passed away, and so she's kind of out on her own and having trust issues with men because of what happened with her father, and then some stuff happens at her church that makes things even tougher for her. I think it's definitely the best series I've ever written. And so, folks that like my books, I think you'll probably really enjoy this one. And like I said, it's very, very culturally significant because of, what's going on with the breakdown between the left and the right. And we're seeing the rise of Antifa. And of course they're a major player in the book. And we sort of see where their funding's coming from. We've got, sort of a George Soros type of a character that's fostering their firearms training and things like that. The far left that wants to get rid of all the guns. Of course, you know, we're starting to see now Antifa gearing up with AK-47s and load bearing equipment. And this is real life stuff I'm talking about. And you know, and we're seeing that two sets of rules where they don't want you to have guns, but they want to have them.
Yes.
And
yep.
While professing to be anti-fascist,
right,
wearing very, very similar armbands to what we saw the Nazis wear, and certainly using very, very similar tactics of squashing anybody that disagrees with their narrative.
Okay, I got a question from live on Facebook as you're answering that question. A friend of mine, Joe, wants to know how many books are going to be in that series.
That's going to be a three book series.
Yeah, okay,
three book series. Uh huh.
Awesome! I can't wait for that one. So let me ask you this, and you know, I hope the audience understands. I get so excited when I talk to you that sometimes, you know, there's maybe not smooth transitions to one question to another. I just feel like I have very little time with you, and I want to get them all out. My question.
So yeah.
my question that I had, that I actually thought about before the show was, what would you change about the preparedness industry, about people like yourself? I mean, that are kind of leaders, kind of in the industry when it comes to authors. You know the Frank Cortons, you know all these people, the Chris Weathermans. What would you change or wish we would kind of move our ship? I mean, more godly, less godly, more direct, less. I mean, what would you change about the as we go forward in this genre?
There's a lot of literature out there that I hear people say are very, very good stories. I can't read it because of the language, the profanity, and the borderline pornographic sex scenes that are in the books. I can't even read that stuff. You know, the Bible says not to grieve the spirit that's inside you. So, I don't read any of it.
Right.
Because a lot of it's really, really, really filthy. That's my personal conviction. But I would certainly love to see more authors, more prepper survival type authors to take that line. Bobby Akrat is not necessarily probably what you would call a Christian, and he wrote a series, the Boston Brahmin series, that had quite a bit of really salty language. But then he tacked to the right, I would say, and started writing stuff that had no swear words in it, and started trying to make it family friendly, just purely out of a business decision, because he saw how many Christians that read this stuff that were being alienated by that language. And
right.
And while it wasn't a particular conviction for him, he just saw the business sense in saying, hey, why don't I produce something that's going to be enjoyable for a wider range? Because, you know, there's really not anybody that's going to say, oh my gosh, that book didn't have one F-bomb in it, I'm not going to read it. Now, my stuff gets a lot of haters because of the biblical content, because, people are just allergic to that. You can talk all day about Muhammad and Buddha and whatever the Indian gods are, Shiva or whoever, and that's fine
yeah.
and dandy, but you say the name of Jesus and people just, it's that spirit that's on them that's controlling them that just repulses at the name and scripture and things like that, and they can't handle that. And unfortunately, it's a lot of people that will leave reviews that will say, I'm a Christian, but that's too preachy for me. They can't handle that. So my stuff's a little more hard-edged Christian.
Right.
And,
oh yeah, and I love it. That's why I love it.
Very offensive to those that want to, the cockroaches, they don't want to be in the light. They don't want to be,
okay.
They don't want any exposure to the light. So, it's very offensive to those people. But I don't write
Mark,
any.
Mark, we got 4 minutes left, and I just got another question for you through Facebook. What's the best way to prepare for economic collapse?
I always like to get one good tip anytime I'm on a show, and while money may not be worth much very shortly after a collapse in the very, very early stages, it's going to be the only thing, because I think the banking system will be locked up. I think you won't be able to get cash out. I think credit cards could possibly be down. There's a lot of different things where credit cards could be down. I think it's a really good idea to keep some portion of your cash at home, and not all of it, because somebody can see you burying it or break in and at gunpoint have you open up your safe or whatever. So, you know, whatever you've got hidden in your house is still at risk. But I think it's also at risk in the bank. So I think you need to have some portion of it in home, in physical cash, where you can get to it. And when you store a large sum of cash and it sits for 6 months or a year, it starts to get stale and starts to get sort of a nasty feel to it and a nasty smell to it. If you'll put that in a food saver or a game saver, any kind of a vacuum sealer bag, that will stop that from happening. And then, of course, if you've got it in a vacuum sealer or whatever like that, you can keep it in your safe. You can keep it in a cash tube and PVC pipe that you've got buried below ground or whatever, and it's going to keep it from getting that stale smell to it. And I think that's something that everybody should do, and that should be in part of everybody's kit, is to have cash at home, because there's banking hacks and there's EMPs and there's economic collapses, and there's so many things that could prevent you from being able to get cash.
Yeah, that question came from Robert. Thanks, Robert, for that question. I also have a solution. If you would like to store your cash, I will keep it for you. I also store gold.
You'll vacuum seal it, right?
Yeah, I'll vacuum seal it. I keep gold and silver and ammo. If you feel like you need to turn in your guns, I can take your guns and make sure they're safe for the rest of their life and they won't shoot anyone. But so, I've got solutions for all these things. Hey, Mark, we're down to the last few minutes. I thank you so much. Tell us about how people can get up with you and your books real quick. We got 2 minutes.
All of my books are available on Amazon.com. There's also click-through links to all of them on PrepperRecon.com. I do a podcast there, a new podcast every week. So come over, check out the show, and then you've got the links to click over into the books. And so whether you're interested in economic collapse or EMPs or end times events or the coming civil war in America, I've got books available in paperback, Kindle edition, and audio, because, you know, obviously you've got a lot of podcast listeners here, and a lot of folks that's the only way they can consume books, because they're just too busy. They really not a whole lot of time to sit on the couch and read a book. But lots of folks have got, you know, whether it's a 20-minute commute or an hour at the gym or 2 hours doing lawn work or whatever they happen to be doing, you can put that put your phone on, your smartphone on, and use it for something smart and listen to a good book.
Yep, absolutely. That's I love it. You got one of the best narrators in the industry, Pierce, I think his name is.
Kevin Pierce. Uh-huh.
Kevin's, yeah. He is amazing. Makes your books come to life. Love that. Also, you're going to be at Heritage Life Skill Conference in April up in Waynesville, North Carolina. You can go up and you can meet the author. You can meet Mark, get your book signed, buy books there. I'm sure you'll have all your books there for sale as well. And that's in Waynesville.
Not exhibiting. I might have a few books with me, but it'd be great if anybody that has their books to bring it out, and I'd be happy to sign it.
Well, Jan, I promise you, Jan will have books to sell.
All right, good.
Yeah, she's running the conference. I'm sure she'll have them. And that's. But hey, thank you so much for coming on to the Prepping Academy. And again, I can't wait to meet you. And thanks again, and God bless you.
Forrest, thanks again for having me.
Thank you. Hey, guys, that was Mark Goodwin. Mark is an author, a podcast, one of the leaders in our industry. Has his reach is wide, godly man, and support him by checking out his podcast, Prepper Recon, and also, go buy his books and read them. They're mandatory reading. They just are. So hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.